not the rich man.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting MerrittAssembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. Today's Modern Worship. We're going to be going this week through seeking justice. And there's a whole lot of people that want to cry out justice, justice, justice. But, you know, maybe the strategy that they use isn't quite the strategy that God is talking about. And so we're looking at that. We're in Isaiah chapter 1. It's where we ended on Friday. And we're going to pick up today in verse number 16 and see how far we get in that process, because in all honesty, there's a reason I remember Isaiah chapter 1. There's a couple of reasons I remember Isaiah chapter 1, but seeking justice wasn't one of those passages that jumped out at me and said, oh, that's in Isaiah chapter 1. Well, verse number 16 says this: wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. How the faithful city has become a harlot. It was full of justice, righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. Your silver has become dross, your wine mixed with water. Your princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loves bribes and follows after rewards. They do not defend the fatherless, nor does the cause of the widow come before them. That's where we're going to end our reading right now. So it says here, wash yourselves and make yourselves clean. Well, we know that there were some ritual washings that Jewish culture had in it, but none of them could bring about a cleaned spirit, a cleansed spirit. There was obedience, there was believing God and it being credited unto Abraham as righteousness. But, there does have to be a desire there. And so when you see wash yourselves and make yourselves clean, you need to look at verse number 18, where it says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So there is a way that sin can be dealt with, but it is going to have to be dealt with God's way, not our way. So recently I had to do some painting. We were getting ready to have some sliding doors put over this one little storage area. And logic told me, hey, it's a whole lot easier to paint that while it's wide open than when you're having to deal with sliding doors. And I thought it was wisdom. So I took a day and I painted it. And in spite of my best efforts, I still managed to get paint in a pretty good number of areas. And, you know, I know it's not the end of the world when you get paint all over you. So I went and I washed my hands And then I looked, and there was still paint. And so I washed my hands again, and I, you know, scraped, and everywhere that was visible, I worked to get that off, and even went to the forearms. I was painting in a short sleeve shirt, and so I did all of the forearm areas and looked in the mirror, and I mean, I was giving it my best effort to get the paint off of me. I'd done that early of a morning before it got too hot, and so I decided that after I was done with that particular project, I had other projects to do, and I decided that I would take a shower. And so I took the shirt off that I had been painting in, and somehow, don't ask me how, I don't know how, there was paint that had managed to get on the front of my shirt. And when I got ready to take the shower, I look over, and there in the mirror, I see there's more paint. There's more paint underneath my shirt than there was in all of the places that I had cleansed. And so this is my third attempt to get the paint off of me. I get in the shower after I have, you know, done as good a job as I can see to do, and take a scrub cloth and washcloth, and I mean, I am focusing on getting all of that paint off, and I get out of the shower and go over to brush my hair, and what do I see? Paint on my hand. Because all of my best efforts, I was pretty sure at that point in time that it was paint that was down inside my pores that was working its way out. I'm just teasing about that. And so later on that day, I said, okay, this was to my wife, honey, I need you to check and see, do I have any paint anywhere on my hands, anywhere on my forearms? I'd been painting in shorts. I found it down on my legs and stuff like that. I said, is there paint anywhere else? Because I didn't want the paint on me. You know, if I'd been out in public, people would have seen that paint on me, and they said, well, that guy just really doesn't care when he comes out. You know, if you're going to Home Depot or Lowe's or Ace Hardware or Walmart, and you're working, and people see, that's okay. But if you go out and you think that you have cleansed yourself, but you've missed some spots, that's when it really stands out. And they said, well, that guy really doesn't know how extensive all of that stain was on his body. See, we need a perspective. We need somebody who can see the places that we can't see things that maybe we've become so familiar with that we just kind of gloss right over it and don't pay attention to it. That's why one of the reasons why there's proofreaders is because whenever you go to proofread your own document, you know what you meant to say, and you have the ability to gloss right over any errors because you know what you intended to say. When it comes to sin, sin's a lot more serious than just having a stain of paint. If we're going to be just before God, we're not going to be able to stand there with sin prevailing in our heart and on our life. I know Easter is pretty recent in the rearview mirror, but I want to tell you, Jesus makes forgiveness of sin possible. And it's not just about that we feel better that we were sinners. He comes to transform us so that sin no longer has dominion over our life. And so he doesn't just want us to get some of the spots. He wants us to get all of the issues of our life under the blood of Jesus, where it cleanses us and makes us pure in his sight. Wash yourselves and make yourself clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Okay? So the thing about having a spirit that is out of alignment with God's will, a spirit that is corrupted by the sin nature or by spiritual influences that are not of God, is that that nature impacts your doing. Your being impacts your doing. It's not that your doing impacts your being. It's the other way around. You know, there's the question, do we sin because we're sinners, or are we sinners because we sin? Well, the truth of the matter is, we, apart from God, since the fall of Adam in the garden, we have been sinners by nature, and that nature causes us to impact our actions. So that's why it talks about, by their fruit you shall know them. It's because of the words that you speak. It's because of the actions of your eyes, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of life. It's because of things like that, that it is a reflection. It is literally a manifestation to us. This is a revelation of who you really are. How many times have you heard a person say, I can't believe I did that, or I can't believe you did that? Well, if you know that apart from Christ you're a sinner, then you know that there is no limit to the heinous acts that people may be able to commit. Because sin never says, oh, I can't go that far. Sin is inside a person, and it has an insatiable appetite for more. It is constantly crying out for more and more depravity. And so that's why you see people who are not living for God, and they just get more and more trapped in their sin. I've told you the story of our dog that we had in Texas. Her name was Dessa. It was a Cocker Spaniel. We were not the first owners. We were the owners that were dealing with the consequences of the first owners, if you will. I'm assuming that there was a male that was involved, because every time this dog encountered a male, she reacted in a negative manner. And so because of that, we couldn't keep her in the house when we weren't there. So we gave her a 100-foot leash. And by the time we would get home, and made sure she was in a shaded area underneath trees, plenty of food, plenty of water, you know, just the only thing was she was on a leash to keep her from running away. That was it. Well, it didn't matter if we gave her a 6-foot leash or a 100-foot leash, she ended up in the same position. And so it took us about 2 days to realize this dog doesn't understand the concept of freedom, and would get herself so tangled up and then not even have the wisdom to undo the actions or pursue a different course than what she had. They got herself all trapped up. We need to realize that we need to repent. Repent is turn around, head the opposite direction, and I throw in this to that definition, with a greater drive and intensity than the drive that you had that kept you bound in sin. Too many people get liberated from sin, and they were professional sinners, and they think, well, all I've got to do is lay around and go to church every once in a while, and I'm going to be living the victorious, holy lifestyle. That's not the reality. There should be a greater, more intense drive for righteousness inside of us because we've been forgiven than there was to sin. So it says, cease to do evil. It does not say to slow down. It says, stop it. Okay? In our study of justice, I'm just going to tell you, we are going to touch on something that is socially acceptable. It is legal, but it is not wise. And we are going to share with you a passage from the Word of God that shows that having that in your life is going to eventually manifest in a spirit of injustice. And so you'll want to stay tuned. I try to bring out things from the Word of God that maybe are not the normal 100 passages that pastors preach from or whatever. I try and bring you the full counsel of God's Word. So cease to do evil. There's an old joke that my grandfather told me years ago, or I heard on the radio. I remember the intersection. So I might have been riding with my grandfather listening to the radio. That might be the mental connection there. But they had put in a new stop sign out in this country area, and this old farmer was driving down the road, and he just blew right through the stop sign, and the police pulled him over, and he said, "Do you know why I stopped you today?" And he said, "No." And he said, "Well, there's a stop sign back there." And he said, "Okay." He said, "There didn't used to be." And he said, "Well, there is now, so I'm not going to give you a ticket today, but you need to make sure you stop at the stop sign." And he said, "Well, I thought I stopped anyway." And he said, "No, you just slowed down." He said, "Same thing." And so the next day, the police officer was there, and the farmer came by, and he ran through the stop sign again, and they had the same conversation, only this time the farmer gave him a ticket. The third day, same thing happened, and the police officer said, "It is a stop sign." And the farmer said, "Well, I slowed down." And the police officer said, "It's not the same thing." And the driver said, "It is too." And about that time, the police officer took out his nightstick. Now, remember, this is a long time ago. I'm not making any statement about, endorsing, abuse or anything like that. All of a sudden, the policeman takes his billy club out, and he starts hitting the driver. And he says, "Now, do you want me to stop or do you want me to slow down?" A lot of people believe that it is okay with God if we just slow down on our sinning, if we just are not as frequent about it. And the truth of the matter is, God wants us to stop it. He wants us to cease from doing evil because he wants us to be living the life he created us to live. It goes on and it says, learn to do good. Learn to do good. I think that there is a valuable lesson in the things that the Bible says that it wants to teach us and that we should learn. Okay? Moses said to God, "God, teach me your ways." Here it says, learn to do good. You don't have to teach a child to misbehave. You don't have to teach a child to say no. They pretty much learn that on their own. That you don't have to teach a child to say no or mine. They get that on their own. They're born with a selfish nature. We have to stop doing the things we're not supposed to be doing, and then we need to learn to live the way God wants us to live. Now, here's one of the things that I notice here in America. Everybody is an expert at about being a pastor, about being a Christian. People who've never read the Bible, they're an expert at knowing how to live. The truth of the matter is, we need teachers. We need preachers. We need people who are, in church imparting life lessons to the body of Christ but it is still the responsibility for us to learn. Okay? A lot of times we look and say, you know, I don't know what I'm doing in this area. You know, when I got married, I didn't have any real idea what life as a husband was going to be about. When I became the pastor of the church, even though I'd been in the ministry for 10 years, I felt just as unprepared and clueless about being a pastor as you could possibly be. It wasn't that I had been intentionally lazy. It was just there was a whole lot more there than what I had been taught. There, you know, one of the jokes around pastors is, well, they didn't teach me that in school. And the truth of the matter is, we need to be making disciples. That's what Jesus said. Go into all the world and make disciples. That means people who learn to live the way Jesus wants us to live. Okay? Now, Jesus said, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Okay? Or I desire obedience, not sacrifice. And that's in Matthew, I think, Matthew chapter 9, I think. He told that to the crowd. I got it right the first time. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. That was in Matthew 9:13. It says this, when Jesus heard that he had said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That is a quote out of Hosea chapter 6, verse number 6. And then if you turn over to Matthew chapter 12, Jesus says this, but if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would have not condemned the guiltless, for the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. What he says, if you had gone and learned what I told you to learn, you wouldn't be condemning the people you're condemning. You would have learned an entirely different lesson. Okay? And then it says, seek justice. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. That means if you see somebody abusing another person, you step up and say, we're not going to tolerate that here. Well, they might beat me up. Well, I tell you what, if they beat you up, God will heal you. If they kill you, you get to go to be with Jesus. But either way, you have stepped up and you have done the right thing. Defend the fatherless and plead for the widow. Jesus was calling for the people of God to step up and be people who were demanding justice. They were looking for justice, not just from God, but they were looking, if you drop down to verse number 21, they were looking for what their society used to have, and that was an equitable system of justice, where it didn't matter who you were, how famous you were, how rich you were, or how powerful you were, you operated by the same rules as everybody else. Okay? That was one of the things that people are so upset about over the past year, is that there were people setting rules for others to live by, but they were not living by them. And then they got caught. And then they start making excuses. Well, those rules don't apply to me. Those rules only apply to you. You know what that's called? Injustice. Injustice. You see, when it comes to God, we are all in the same boat. We were born sinners who needed a Savior. See, there are a lot of people that says, look, I'm all right and you're all right. I've got a friend, he said, I was raised in church where they told me I'm all right and you're all right. And then he said, and then I went to a church and they said, you know what? You're a dirty, rotten sinner and you are going to split hell wide open unless you get your heart right with Jesus. And he said, and they were right. And so he got his heart right with Jesus, and now he ministers to people and has led a lot of people to Jesus. Okay? We need to seek justice. We all were sinners. We all have access to the one and only Savior, whose name is Jesus Christ. And when we ask him to forgive us our sins and be the Lord of our life, he said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And when we do that, it is supposed to manifest in us treating God's creation, his people, other people, the same way that God would treat them. Treat them fair and upright. Treat them with justice. And so that's where we're going to be. We'll start at verse number 21 tomorrow on the broadcast. I do want to take just an opportunity to say thank you to the folks at Wyrick Air, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. For over 40 years, they have been providing professional sales, service, and repairs for air conditioning problems, heating problems, and electrical issues in residential, commercial, and emergency settings whenever they were needed. They always strive to provide you with the best service possible at an affordable price. So when you find yourself in need of their services, give them a call, 321-632-9538. We pray that God will lead us and guide us in our study this week as we do exactly what Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 17 says, where we learn to do good and seek justice so we treat people the way that God wants to treat them. I hope that you will stick around with us as we journey through the Word of God and understand by the time we get done with this a little bit better what it means to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto us. I will tell you this, it's not a snipe hunt. When you start seeking the things God wants you to seek for, you're going to find them. When you seek him, you'll find him. When you seek him with all your heart. We'll see you tomorrow right here on
Refresh. Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Said